With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Steny Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time Broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us to open God's precious Word and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll get your Bible and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning again in our Bible to the book of Psalms 139, and we're looking at verses number 23 and 24. Here the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." On the broadcast yesterday, we began a study that I'm going to preach on for several days on the subject of personal revival. Notice again the personal pronouns, I, me, and my, that are found here in these verses. David said, "Search me." If I could use the words of the old spiritual, not my brother, nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord. Search me. And then he said, "And know my heart." Then he said, "Try me and know my thoughts." And then he said, "And see if there be any wicked way in me." And then he closes this chapter by saying, "And lead me in the way everlasting." I told the story on the broadcast yesterday how that some time ago I was flying to the city of Chicago to begin a meeting. As we began our descent, I cried out, "Oh God, give me something special for the service tonight." I was communing with the Lord. I said to him, "Lord, you know, I've got an outline in my Bible. I've got a message on my heart. But Lord, would you give me something special for this meeting and for my own heart in the service tonight?" By the time I went to the pulpit that night, it was settled in my heart what the Lord wanted me to preach, and it was not what I'd planned on preaching. During the time between the Lord speaking in my heart and the time that I would go in the pulpit, God had placed a message upon my heart and had given me several thoughts in a manner that I had never looked at them before. And I went in the pulpit that night and I preached from the text, "This meeting is really all about me." You see, we cannot have a church revival until we have a personal revival. We do not get saved by the multitudes. There may be a multitude saved at one time, but each one of them has to be a personal conversion where God deals with that sinner on a personal basis, and they personally exercise repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God saves them on a personal basis. You cannot be saved for anyone else, and no one else can be saved for you. You cannot be revived for anyone else, and no one else can be revived for you. As I said yesterday, I preached on it that one night, but I knew in my heart God had done something that I would not soon get over. So the next week, I preached 5 messages on the subject, "This meeting is really all about me." Let me just say this and then move on in our study for the broadcast today. There are some things that are very personal with God. I mean, God does not deal with the multitude or the crowd, but he deals with them individually. I said to you, first of all, there is a personal experience with God in salvation. There may be a number of people saved in the same service, but God deals with each of them, and then they must individually turn to God with repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, salvation is a personal matter. Your mother cannot be saved for you. Your daddy cannot be saved for you. Your sisters and brothers cannot be saved for you. Your friends and relatives cannot be saved for you. No salvation is really all about you. It is a fact that you must ask yourself, am I saved? And only you can answer that. And if you're not saved, then you must ask yourself, what must I do to be saved? And friend, when God the Holy Ghost gives you the answer to that, then you must do that yourself and for yourself. No one can be saved for you. And may I say this? No one will go to hell for you if you leave this world unsaved. I'm telling you, we're talking about you, me, our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I said to you, not only is our salvation personal, but our separation is personal. I do not care how clean, godly, and dedicated your parents are. You can be as wicked as a devil. It's up to you. Salvation is personal, and separation is a personal matter. You must hear the Word of God, study the Word of God, and allow the Spirit of God to work convictions and principles of holiness and righteousness in your own life. It's about you. Nobody can do that for you. It is a matter between you and God personally. Then I mentioned the area of surrender. No one can surrender for you, and neither can you surrender for anyone else. Why should we worry about others when we cannot surrender about them? Salvation is a personal relationship with the Lord. Separation is a personal relationship with the Lord. Surrender is a personal relationship with the Lord. Nobody can surrender for you, and you will not get a reward for someone else's surrender. And no one can keep you from being surrendered if you set your heart to go with God. And then I mentioned the matter of service. No one can serve God and earn you crowns and rewards at the end of this journey. So I trust you see what I'm dealing with. This is a personal matter, and a revival likewise must be a personal renewing and reviving of the work of grace and the love of God and the love of lost souls, the love for the church, the love for the Word of God, and the love for the work of God in your heart personally. Nobody's going to make you do it. But friend, nobody will suffer the consequences but you if you do not do it. Now, I want you to notice in our text here, David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. I want to look at the first one of those today, and that is probably as far as I will get. Listen to me, dear friend. On a personal basis, would you and I be brave enough? Would we dare to say to God, search me, O God, and know my heart? May I use this illustration? Would you let God use it in your life? Would we lay ourselves on God's operating table and say to God, open up my heart, go in and look around and see what's in my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. What we say to him, Lord, I want you to enter into every area of my heart, every crevice, every secret place. No rooms are locked. No places barred. Go in and see what you find in my heart. Now, remind you, God does not have to search us for information. No, he knows the very secrets, even the secret thoughts of our heart and the secret desires. But, oh, God needs to go in and, could I use the expression, walk around and put his finger on things in our life and point them out to us and show us our need of getting right with the Lord. Could I say it in this manner? Would we allow God to take a stroll with us through the secret avenues of our heart and our soul? I wonder if you and the Lord took a stroll through your heart, would he find any sins of pride? Pride is the very enemy of God. Pride is the opposite of humility. And the Bible said that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. And I wonder, is there pride hid somewhere in your life that you may not even be aware of? What about the sins of jealousy? I wonder if God would find a sin or sins of jealousy in your heart. You just can't hardly stand for somebody else to get attention that you do not get. And you cannot stand for someone else to accomplish something that looks like it's more than you accomplish. And they may prosper more than you, but it bothers you. That old sin of jealousy and its double first cousin, envy and strife, all come along together. Do you have a striving spirit inside of you that holds an odd against the brother because they're being blessed in an area that it does not seem like you are being blessed in? I wonder if God went through our heart, would he find any sins of selfishness? Would he find the sins of gossip? Would he find the sin of prayerlessness? What about the sin of an unread Bible? What about the sin of an unforgiving spirit? What about the sin of unfaithfulness in the service of God? You see, all of these are sins that's within us, and the world doesn't detect them, maybe. But I want to tell you, God knows where they're at, and they're sin against God. I'm talking about a personal revival where God walks through your heart with you and shows you sins against God in your heart. Well, our time is gone. We'll continue tomorrow, the Lord willing. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. Once again, it's anniversary month here at the Harvest Time broadcast. We began broadcasting on the first Monday in November of 2002. The Lord's allowed us to finish 6 years, and we're now broadcast over 80 times a day. I do want to thank you that's prayed for us and stood by us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. I remind you that without you, we would not be able to do the job that we're doing. Let me encourage you on this anniversary month, you take time out, write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.
A new way, it's growing.